take your hands off that mute button, because the Lotus Effect is coming up right fucking now!
This is a new live son of a bitch.
Bull frickin' horse shit.
I hate to go all technical on you, but all hands on deck, swirly thing alert.
Attention.
Listen, you motherfuckers.
Buckle up, pedal heads.
You're experiencing the Lotus Effect with Phoenix and Phone Boy.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
You are my podcast. My only podcast. So if you fucking take my podcast away, I'm going to shove my foot so far up your ass.
It is out of sheer morbid curiosity I'm allowing this freak show to continue.
How do you fix that, though?
Take a big step back and literally
suck my dick.
Are you interested? I know you are, because it's fuck or walk.
You're shitting me.
Have you made your decision for Christ?
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Well, you know who else doesn't give a shit?
Phoenix and Phone Boy?
Ah, not them again!
Oh, they're horrible.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right.
Right. You know what the fuck you're in listening to, getting, you know, all of that stuff. Yeah, you're listening to The Lotus Effect. This is episode 213. I could call this the Hollywood episode, but no, it's actually the provisional show title for this is called Insane Cloud Posse, and I actually have no idea where the hell that came from.
Oh, I do.
Oh, well, okay. Anyway, the show's made up, the content doesn't matter, and we're Phone Boy, or I'm Phone Boy. And yeah, oh my God, folks, like, I gotta tell you about this, right? I went to the store earlier this week, and yes, let's see, when I went to Walmart, yeah, I ran across the bread aisle and the lunch meat aisle. They were both, like, picked clean.
Because, ice cream, too.
Yeah, ice cream, too. Yes, we were, yeah, people were buying up for a Snowmageddon that, well, at least as we look outside, yeah.
Didn't happen.
Really didn't happen, but there's probably some ice outside. I mean, snow's been falling, like, rain's been falling today, and the temperatures have been below freezing, but it hasn't. It was falling as rain, and yeah, it's probably freezing on the roads, and I'm glad I'm not going anywhere. That's all I have to say about that.
Are you sure?
No.
Well, either way, we didn't get the smokepocalypse and all the hype, truly, you know.
To tell you the truth, I don't give a shit.
Because I'm Phoenix, and I knew it wasn't going to be anything.
Yeah, of course we didn't. It's just funny to kind of watch people do all of that. And I'm kind of looking around, and I mean, I'm out there just going and buying, like, just sort of like the normal groceries, and like, okay, anyway, it's just oh my God, people! I swear to God. Now, first of all, we'd like to welcome our Apple Podcast, Spotify listeners, those of you who are listening on LotusEffect.live, you know, listening on, I don't know, YouTube, wherever you're listening to us. I all I can say is, you know, I hope you're not freaking out.
What is this?
This is kind of strange.
This is terrific.
I think I'm gonna be sick.
Not a speck of light is showing, so the danger must be growing. Are the fires of hell aglowing? Is the grisly reaper mowing? Yes! The danger must be growing, for the rowers keep on rowing, and they're certainly not showing any signs that they are slowing!
We're there.
I just had an orgasm.
The guy is jizzing all over himself.
I'm freaking out, man.
You are freaking out, man.
Yeah, well, maybe we're not freaking out so much here in Castle Lewis, although we were figuring out whether we're going to get here on time, you know, to do the show because we were cooking and making videos and stuff. And because you might be freaking out for other reasons though too, right? And any time that you're in the Lotus with the Lotus, it affects everyone differently. And it might affect you differently at different times, right? That's cool. So, however, and wherever the Lotus is affecting you, we want to hear about it.
I got mail. Yay!
I got you a dollar.
Now, and especially since we started doing this video stuff, we invest a lot of time in putting this show together, and we operate on the value for value model, which consists of three T's: time, talent, and treasure. Now, we love that, you know, we love when you can send us treasure, although that's not the point of what we do, right? But if you
and
want
the treasure for the month of January is actually being forwarded to Wookie to help out with her post-cancer surgery bills, because she's really trying to keep it all floating, and she's the only one working in the household, and being out on short-term disability for 6 weeks doesn't pay worth a damn.
No, it doesn't. Any of the donations that we get until I feel like it, basically, yeah, we'll send them to Wookie, because she's done a lot of good things for a lot of people, and you know, and we want to give back. So now you can also send us money by going to lotuseffect.show and clicking on that green We Like Money button, and use PayPal to send us some cash, or if you want to use Cash App, you can do that with the cash tag $ the Lotus Effect 33. You can also go to our merch store at lotuseffect.shop, where you can buy crap that's been smeared with our brand feces. You can also set up a one-time donation there if you want to. We actually have something this week, and I think it's important to highlight that.
Oh, you the executive producer.
It's Shirky with his $7.66 monthly donation. We appreciate that. We don't see enough in the chat, brother. I know you're busy on the weekends sometimes, so we totally get that. But we understand, right, that y'all may not have scratch right now. Things are interesting in the world, as they say. And we do want to make sure the investment where we make in putting this show together is valuable, right? And so one of the things we actually find the most valuable at all of this is just letting us know that you're listening. It only takes a minute or two, and we'll talk about how we can do that. Now, first, if you're listening to this on if you just happen to come to the website and listen to this, please go to lotuseffect.show and you can subscribe.
If you're listening on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit the bell so you'll know when a new episode is put out. Give us a like. Do all the things you do. Let us know you're out there. Send the act back.
We actually got to get the show published on YouTube. That's a whole different discussion. But anyway, that's something we're going to end up doing here in a little bit. We've been kind of expanding our platform access just a little bit here, and it's one of the reasons we're doing some of the stuff that we're doing. Letting us know you're listening is the most important thing, right? So yeah, I mean, first of all, if you're listening to the podcast, find a way to subscribe and rate, review, reshare all of that on other stuff. Yeah, and then of course there's also this other way that the primary way that if you want to give us feedback that is on some sort of network, you have to go over to Mastodon. Yeah, because Phoenix doesn't do regular social media, and frankly, I don't do much regular social media either, I still have to do it from time to time, and so, yeah, I have presences over there, but as far as our official stuff for the show, right, we're on Mastodon, and I'm phoneboy at lotuseffect.social. And
I'm Phoenix, PHEONIX, at lotuseffect.social.
And if you want to send us feedback without actually using a social media platform, you can send us feedback to feedback@lotuseffect.show as an email address. You can also send us snail mail.
We'll provide the address in the back channel. Just hit us up, let us know that you would like it. Now, you also can reach out email wise at phoneboy@lotuseffect.show, phoenix@lotuseffect.show. Again, it's PHEONIX.
That's right. Well, what we really enjoy is joining us while we're doing stuff live, right? And so we're live on Fridays and Saturdays at 9 p.m. Eastern time, 8 Central, 6 specific, if you wish. And so on Fridays, we do either Right Share Radio or 2.5 Bends. We did 2.5 Bends last night.
If you didn't catch it, you missed a great show.
Yeah, well, I'll post the recording tonight. So I didn't do it last night because we played COD, and next thing I know, yeah, it was 6 o'clock in the morning before I went to bed last night. So anyway, and then on Saturdays we do the Lotus Effect. We do it now at 9 Eastern, 8 Central. And of course, after that, we do Studio 33 and play music and sometimes play Cards Against Humanity, whatever. All of the details to join us on Fridays and Saturday nights, lotuseffect.live. It's got everything there. And of course, in our stream. It's a one-stop shop. Now, you can also call or text 253-237-3321.
One ringy dingy. Two ringy dingy.
Dell Computers, this is Chip.
I'm sorry, sir, but that line is boozy.
Well, I don't know if the line is boozy, but it's definitely infected by Google's, auto-corrupting thing, which they probably feed to an AI or some bullshit like that, right? And it's going to provide a mangled transcript of your call, and you might be a show title, right? So when you do call in, right, we love to get feedback, right, from you. So if that's how you want to give us a feedback, you can do it that way. But you can also answer our weigh-in topic, right? Which we ask our pedal heads to weigh in on a specific thing. And this week, I think this week we have as our weigh-in topic the best Dungeons and Dragons story. And whether you
You degenerates out there play Dungeons and Dragons, we know you do. We want to hear the best story. Tell us about a dungeon master. Tell us about some character that really pissed you off. What's the worst loss and the best win you've ever had? 253-237-3321. And then next week, you can let us know, in lieu of the weather we're having, what's your best snow story? Now, it can be a snow story where you had fun, like you went sledding or snow tubing, or it can be one of those, this damn XYZ. Just let us know your next week, your best snow story. This week, let us know your best Dungeons and Dragons story.
Exactly. And I think that's pretty much it for our opening segment here. So now it's time to strap in and take it from Dr. Johnny Fever.
So just sit right down, relax, open your ears real wide and say, give it to me straight, doctor. I can take it.
Yeah, but we ain't taking this.
We don't want your shit.
Please don't send us your shit.
I mean, look, we like ball busting, but don't be a dick, right? Just
be respectful.
Be respectful, right? Show everybody respect, right? That's what it is, and treat everybody with dignity, right? I think that's a good way to say things.
Definitely.
And we also have some words of wisdom from Leslie Nielsen.
I just want to tell you both good luck. We're all counting on you.
Yeah, I actually just—it's funny enough. I just bought a DVD of the Naked Gun movies. Speaking of Leslie Nielsen, which,
however, not the most recent one.
No, not the most recent one. The most recent one, yeah, it's probably still anyway.
Okay, I want to point out something very interesting. Maybe the pedal heads are aware of this. Maybe they're not. So you went from having Leslie Nielsen to Liam Neeson. Just want to point that out.
Yeah, I know. I don't quite get that, but
no, you're not getting it. The LM connection.
Oh,
their names both start and end with L and M. I just want to point that out.
Well, N. You mean not M?
Well, I'm saying like L, M, and N are the three letters involved in both of the names, and they sound kind of alike. I'm just pointing out.
Yes, exactly. Well, anyway, the primary topic we talk about is health, and right, I can assure you.
I just thought about that. No, I'm going to back you up. It is both L and N.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'm sorry. I had to fourth wall break that for a second because I'm like, wait a minute. No, they are both L and ending with N. Sorry, I got a little confused. It happens. Not quite enough coffee.
However, one thing you can be assured is that our show will never, ever...
The health won't be.
Yeah, never be.
Brought to you by Pfizer.
Now, okay, I think this is a timely article by Dr. Kate Shanahan, which we've had clips of before. And she has a great thing on the best cure for the post-holiday sugar cravings.
More sugar!
Yeah. I think look, we're all addicted to sugar, right? And this is, and if you start eating sugar again and then you withdraw from it, yeah, you get those cravings, right? The cravings are not a personal failure. They just reflect an underlying metabolic issue that was never fully resolved. And until that issue is addressed, post-holiday setbacks are not only common, they're predictable. And the main issue is insulin resistance. Right? And sugar and carbohydrate cravings are best understood through the lens of metabolic health. When insulin signaling is impaired, the body has difficulty regulating energy availability, which intensifies cravings and makes willpower feel irrelevant. Yeah, it's sometimes when you're trying to detox off sugar and you go cold turkey, it's difficult. Now, this metabolic pattern has become widespread in adults consuming modern, highly processed diets. Yeah, go into the grocery store, you can see.
Most people, like I said, go in the grocery store, look at somebody's cart. And look at that person. There's a very large correlation, I believe, in the way that they look and the things that are in their cart. just pointing that out.
Yeah. Understanding and correcting this backdrop is the key to undoing post-holiday sugar cravings without relying on deprivation or guilt. Now, the reason your sugar demon feels so out of control is that insulin resistance turns sugar cravings into a biological drive. Yeah, I mean, that's a good way to describe it. It links your hunger directly to your blood sugar levels and makes us obsess about sweet foods to the point that our day doesn't feel right if we don't get our treats. That's why most people trying to avoid it struggle with setbacks. And until insulin resistance improves, gaining control of cravings for starchy and sweet-tasting foods is far more difficult than it is after you're no longer insulin resistant. You can permanently end sugar cravings, but to do so, you must fix your metabolism. And fixing your metabolism requires changing what you eat. Duh! Especially eliminating seed oils, which, you know, we don't think about too much, right? And eating meals that support steady brain energy. And it doesn't require heavy exercise, and GLP-1 drugs don't help as much as changing your diet, although they can help with some people to get started with dietary changes. We had that story from that lady that said, yeah, it got me going, and I changed my diet, and it helped, right? So,
but the big problem is a lot of people don't change their diets when they go on the Gila Monster shot. They just continue to eat the same garbage that they've been eating because they think it's just a miracle drug. That's not how this is supposed to work.
No, it's not. But there is good news. You don't have to wait until insulin resistance is fully reversed to reduce sugar cravings. I know I've done it. And there's a way to regain control now as long as you're eating meals that support your brain energy. Now, many people try to quit sugar by focusing only on the food itself. But sugar cravings are rarely about just sugar, right? They're about the rituals we build around sweet taste and the emotional states those rituals support. Yeah, these patterns are not random. They're predictable responses to insulin resistance, which creates unstable brain energy and makes the sweet treat or the starchy comfort food feel uniquely comforting, motivating, or calming at certain times of the day. Now, remember, your digestive system converts carbs into sugar, right? And sugar becomes a tool for managing how you feel. That's like a drug, right? Whether you're awake, motivated, rewarded, or soothed, or something you eat just because it tastes good. Now,
the problem is this. When you eat that sugary treat, you're going to end up having a sugar crash. It's not if, it's just when. And the sad part is it happens repetitively. You eat the sugar treat, you get the crash. And if you're eating the treat because, oh, I'm just in a slump, I'm just so tired. Oh, now I'm all jacked up. And
yeah,
an hour, two hours later.
It's just like when you feed the kids the birthday cake, right? 2 hours after, what do? They crash. Well, adults do it too. And I feel it sometimes too. A couple of times when I've had something recently that's done that, yeah, I understand what that crash is like. Yeah. And it becomes of a vicious cycle.
Where breaking the cycle is so important.
Yeah, that's right. So before you can change your relationship with sugar, it helps to clearly recognize which of the rituals you follow. You may have one, you may have several. The goal is not to judge them, but to see them clearly. And oh, by the way, I think that's a good piece of advice in general. It's, you know, Sir Bemrose in the chat jokes about, not judging. Well, but you should, yeah, and that's, you can observe something without judgment, but you should be able to see it clearly, right? I think that's, and we all kind of struggle with that at times, being able to see things about ourselves clearly, not in a judging way, but in a way that is just, that's accurate and true, right? And you can detox from sugar, and this is the plan that Dr. Kate Shanahan has recommended for years. Now, first of all, you have to commit to a plan you can actually follow, because if you can't follow it, then, you know, and by the way, going cold turkey is usually not, although I've done it, but, oh, boy.
I'm currently doing it. I'm better than 3 weeks food sober. I've not had any sugars, very few carbs, and they only come from, like, the hearts of palm rice at a dinner. I've dropped almost 20 pounds since the beginning of the year and month because I just decided that I love myself more than I love that little taste of honey with the yogurt or possibly, you know, sneaking a Starbucks, God forbid. That's just a sugar laden coffee flavor.
We try not to go to Starbucks anyway.
But, yeah, we do.
Okay, so step two is contain the sugar ritual to only once per day, right? So before cutting back on sugar, you need to contain the ritual. So, like we say, they're not about taste, the sugar cravings necessarily. They're tied to timing, habits, and how those habits make you feel emotionally. Dr. Shanahan found that if you commit to choosing one eating period per day for sweets, it does two important things. First, you stop asking, do I deserve a treat at random times, which eliminates opportunities for making excuses to say yes. Second, the assurance that you will eat sugar at some point today starts to convince your brain that everything will be all right, even without sugar coming in repeatedly. The ritual becomes predictable and contained, which empowers you. Now, if you currently eat sweets multiple times per day, stay at this step for at least 2 weeks, and honestly, longer is better. The goal here is not perfection, it's containment. Makes a lot of sense. And once you're down to eating sweets only once per day, you're ready to move to the next step. So step three says gradually reduce the sweetness in stages. Now, once sweets are limited to one time per day, you can begin to taper the amount of sweetness. The key is to go slowly enough that your brain barely notices the change. Use three or four stages, whichever makes the math easier. The goal here is not to feel deprived. Now, with each level that you reduce to, hold each new level for 2 or 3 weeks, right? Your brain and taste buds need time to adjust, and so does your body, right? Staying at each lower level for about 2 weeks allows sugar cravings to quiet down before you taper again. Rushing this process can backfire. It's not about willpower. It's about giving your biology time to recalibrate. And by the way, if you've gotten sugar down really low and feel in control, then you can stay there. Now, this doesn't work for everyone. And now something I've actually tried, because I do eat yogurt at times, Greek yogurt, yeah. Try a little cinnamon in place of sugar. It has its
full
own
fat, by the way.
Yeah, full fat, right? Cinnamon has its own sweet taste, but of course it has zero sugar, so there's no risk of slipping into using more. Although, just remember that yogurt is made with milk, so it has sugar in it, you know, just by the nature of what it is, right? Although I did actually see that Anna Vecchino's has some recipe using a yogurt maker to make Greek yogurt. That's something
that's interesting.
That's something we might want to look into, but and I actually did it. I actually did it with cinnamon and nutmeg when I did it. And now Dr. Shanahan puts cinnamon in her yogurt with just a little bit of starchy nuts, cashews. And that combination seems to completely prevent her from feeling any sense of deprivation whatsoever. And of course, your mileage may vary in all of this, but you know. Anyway, I think it's a good strategy just for getting off sugar in general, right? I mean, whether it's the holidays or not. I mean, I think it's you can't.
Well, the problem is that the holidays seem to be the largest ramp up from basically the end of October when you have Halloween. Because even as adults, when that Halloween candy or that Christmas candy goes on sale, you know you're stocking up. Don't lie. We see you, folks. But from basically October to April, May, it's basically sugar season is what we call it. Because you have Halloween, Thanksgiving, so you've got all those sugary baked treats. Then you've got Christmas right on the heels of that, more sugary baked treats. You get a little reprieve around the new year. But then you're slammed right back into chocolate hell for February and Valentine's Day, followed quickly on the heels of the Easter holiday for all the Christians and those who believe the Jewish fairy tale. So it's basically 6 months roughly out of the year that's just constant sugar, sugar, sugar. And for addicts, and we all are to some degree, whether recovering or current addicts of the sugar, It's a difficult time.
Yeah, and even Vinnie Tortorich, right? Mr. No Sugar, No Grains himself, like, look, yeah, I'm addicted to it too, right? Which is why, you know, and the people that are really addicted to it probably shouldn't have it at all, right? I mean, it's, you know, his joke about like wine, for instance, is if I'm staring Kristen Scott Thomas in the face and she gives me wine, I'm drinking it, right? Because
she has really good wine and she's kind of hot.
Yeah, that's kind of life into living. Well, you know, I mean, you've seen Serena too. I mean, come on.
Like, actually, that's good. I have not. I've heard her voice. She was on one of the recent episodes that he did. I have not seen her. I know she's a former Bond girl. I'm going to have to look this woman up. I'm sure she's a smoke show because Vinny's a fucking hottie pie. Even at 60-something years old, dude, like, he's finer than frog hair split twice.
I don't swing that way, but Vinny's a good-looking dude. I mean, I just...
That's where you say no homo. After exactly. You make that statement.
I know, but it's like, no, I'm secure enough in who I am that, I think Vinnie Tortorich is a good-looking dude, right? I mean, yeah.
And we like the message that he's putting out, that you can change. I mean, you've heard us talking about it for so long. Yeah. You can change what you eat, and it ultimately changes everything else that goes forward. And I personally, and I know Foam Boy, are both examples of how this is, you know, this is N1. It works.
Yeah. When you do, you can do it, right? It's, okay, we kind of got off the rails a little bit here, and that's part of, you know, and actually learned, you know, so we could talk about that for a second in so much as, I mean, I think we were kind of going off the rails, and sometimes you kind of look at the, you gather more information, you go, well, yeah, these are things, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have learned about, like, my allergy and some of the allergy stuff that I learned about and all of some of the other things had I not gone off the rails. So, you know, but this is where, you know, and even Vinny says, look, if you fall off the wagon, get right back on, right? Don't wait until, you know, don't wait until tomorrow or, you know.
Yeah, there's none of this procrastinating of I'll start tomorrow, I'll start Monday.
Yeah.
The best time is right now.
That's right.
And he says, if you fall off at lunch, you're right back on at dinner.
Yeah.
It's doing what we do, eating the way we eat, is not an issue where, oh, gee, I broke down and had one little nibble of a chocolate my coworker gave me. Well, I'm fucked for the week. No, you just forgive yourself. You go, okay, I remember that taste. Yep. Either it's as good as I remember, or a lot of times, folks, you taste it and you go, you know, I really remember this tasting better. And the longer that you're clean with your diet and what you're eating, the more you can definitely see, A, how broken the food system is, but also just how abjectly horrible the food that they put out, all that ultra processed food, how horrible it really does taste. And I'll give you a big example of that, and I'll name and shame them. One of our state treasures, Little Debbie, that we call Little Diabetes. Those cakes have no flavor. Okay, you might get a little hint of something that reminds you of some cinnamon and oatmeal in an oatmeal cream pie, but the major flavor that I get when I bite into one of those is just hydrogenated Crisco oil, seed oil. Ugh. I even joke about when I walk down the aisle, I'm like, oh my God, my blood sugar just raised 10 points from walking down this aisle. And I'll go in the cereal aisle, and you've got one side of it that's got Pop-Tarts and the other side of it that has cereal. And I'll be the asshole that does the Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music twirling around going, diabetes, diabetes, everywhere, everywhere. Because that's all it is. You're feeding this stuff to yourselves and to your children. This is shit that we should not feed to our worst enemies and to an evil animal. It is absolutely horrible. And I'm here to tell you that since I began being food sober at the beginning of the year, and as you all know, you know, losing my mom at the end of last year really rocked my world to the point of sometimes, as I talked about last week, sometimes not even being able to get out of bed further than go and use the restroom and come back. You know, eating, what's that? Shower? Yeah, cool story, bro. Since I cleaned up my diet and other things this week, which we'll talk about in Toast and Jam, have come to light, I've noticed, even prior to, you know, this last week's events, a lot more clarity, a lot of mood stabilization. Even on my worst days, when I just kind of stare catatonically, like, I don't know how I'm going to put one foot in front of the other, I'm able to do something. If it's as simple as washing some reusable coffee cups that I use, or doing a candle project, or just something, anything that I can say that I have moved my chains forward. And I do really think it's because I went what we call AF and just said, no, I'm absolutely not going to, for any reason, take a quote cheat day or even a cheat moment. Because at the end of the day, I don't like how my body feels when I eat anything that has sugar in it. And that is one of the biggest motivations for me, is when I look at something and I think, wow, I remember how good that used to taste. One of two thoughts enters my mind. Normally the thought of, yeah, but you know, as soon as you put it in your mouth, you're just not going to think it tastes as good. So why are you going to waste the money and time? And moreover, what is this going to do to my body? How bad am I going to hurt? How crappy am I going to feel? All from a Little Debbie cake or an ice cream bar or something that clearly I should not be eating.
Yeah. And even, you know, when I was prior to the insurrection, I think that's what allowed me to get through it, because I can tell you, like, you know, those COVID years, as I'll call them, you know, the last 2 years of my marriage, you know, yeah. If I was, you know, I was running 10 miles a day and I was, yeah, I was pretty much like, I was actually like about, I had gotten about 7 or 8 pounds from my goal weight. Right. which I'm not at right now, but yeah, because and honestly, it helped, right? Because I knew I was under a lot of stress, and I managed to keep me clear enough that I was able to get through that. I mean, it was a pretty rough, you know, situation. Yeah. Imagine not wanting to live in the house that you live in, you know, because you don't really want it. Anyway, that's a whole different, I don't want to get into that, but. I'm corroborating your experience, right? Which is that, yeah, it's the mental, yeah, it really does help with mental clarity, right? So, you know, this is, you know, and there's a lot of things like that in the world, unfortunately, that are designed to sort of rob you of your mental clarity and who you are and that kind of thing. But,
and again, it's by design, we think.
We think it's by design.
The food system is very broken. It feeds into the medical system that keeps you dependent because the food system is so broken, and it's a vicious Dutch rudder between the two agencies.
Well, yeah, and all the other things that are also sort of conspiring. But that's, again, that's a different thing. And, but this is something,
exactly.
But this is something that's been in and out of the news for a long time. And this is, but, and it is, it's interesting because, you know, it's like a warrant canary almost, right? Because, and this is your,
well, we've been told for a good long time that cell phones are dangerous, but apparently the FDA has removed web content that says cell phones are harmless, and the HHS is launching a study.
The way I see it, the only good phone's a landline, and the phone should be made out of Bakelite.
So without fanfare, the FDA has deleted multiple web pages asserting that cell phones are not dangerous. First reported by the Wall Street Journal, the move comes as the Department of Health and Human Services, or HHS, has begun a new investigation into potential health effects of cell phone radiation. Now, this is stuff we knew about years ago. They talked about using these cell phones scrambles your brain, it lowers your sperm count. There's been tons of things that they've talked about. Now, the HHS Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr., we like Bobby Kennedy Jr. here at the Lotus Effect, he's previously declared that cell phones are causing harm that are not yet fully acknowledged. There's cell phone tumors. I'm representing hundreds of people who have cell phone tumors behind the ear. It's always on the ear that you favor with your cell phone. We have the science, Kennedy said in a 2023 appearance on the Rogan Experience. You should never put one next to your head. I put it on speakerphone or I use earphones. Yeah, most people do nowadays, although it does drive me absolutely out of my mind, and I'm going to have a mini rant about it here. Doing rideshare, one of the things I find most offensive, because it doesn't cost more than maybe $10 to get a cheap set of earphones. Stop putting your fucking music, your content, your whatever on your phone, on speaker, in my back seat. Stop it. Use earphones. It's rude. So, responding to a journal inquiry about the change to the FDA website, the HHS spokesman, Andrew Nixon, said the FDA removed web pages with old conclusions about cell phone radiation while the agency undertakes a study on electromagnetic radiation and health research to identify gaps in knowledge, including on new technology, to ensure safety and efficacy. Boy, if that's not a mouthful of bullshit, huh? So one of the deleted pages included a passage declaring that the weight of scientific evidence has not linked exposure to radio frequency energy from cell phone use with any health problems. Bullshit. There may be more scrubbing of the site to come. The journal notes that the FDA site still has summaries of the deleted pages, but the links redirect to other generalized content about the agency's regulatory mission. So they're memory holding this, basically.
Right. Yes. Like they do everything else.
Yes. So Kennedy, who had a career as an environmental litigator, has long engaged on the issue. Kennedy represented people suing phone companies for allegedly causing brain tumors and won a 2020 case that compelled the Federal Communications Commission to reassess its wireless radiation regulations. He was also chairman of Children's Health Defense, which has been involved in litigation over 5G technology and a case blaming an Idaho man's cardiac arrest on a cell phone tower. He also pointed to radiation as a prime suspect in the mystery of widespread chronic illnesses among children. Our children are swimming around in a toxic soup. The Wi-Fi radiation is a lot worse than people think it is, yet from your cell phone, Kennedy told Rogan in 23. Now, in 2025, he celebrated a large wave of cell phone restrictions that swept across the nation's schools. In addition to pointing to links between social media use and depression, Kennedy told Fox News that cell phones produce electromagnetic radiation, which has been shown to do neurological damage to kids when it's around them all day, and to cause cellular damage and even cancer. Another good reason to stop handing your kids fondle slabs, but I digress. Both the FDA and FCC have a hand in regulating cell phones, with the FDA providing scientific assessments to the FCC, which imposes caps on radio frequency emissions. For now, the FCC website still has content declaring there's no evidence linking wireless electronics to cancer. We expect that'll change soon, hopefully. So the National Cancer Institute, a component of the National Institutes of Health, says evidence to date suggests that cell phone use does not cause brain or other kinds of cancer in humans.
Yeah, but does it contribute to it?
Well, they're not saying that it doesn't. They're just saying it doesn't cause it. Causation is not correlation. Just remember that, folks. So John Hopkins epidemiologist Elizabeth Platts told the journal that cell phones don't emit the variety of radiation that's known to cause cancer. She also pointed to a large study failing to find any connection between cell phones and cancer.
Have they been done? I don't think
they
have.
That's the thing. Maybe she all out failed to find the studies, not just to find any connection. However, scientific consensus about health has a long history of infamous fallibility. Confidently wrong conclusions have caused incalculable harms, from creating a peanut allergy epidemic to opening a Pandora's box of harms during the COVID-19 pandemic. Given that, we don't mind seeing RFK Jr. revamping the AHS to put a new set of skeptical eyes on the cell phone radiation consensus.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing years ago about, you know, how they sort of quote-unquote test whether there's an issue or not, and it just seems like it's all fake and gay, right? As I'm sitting here thinking about it, I'm kind of going, well, yeah, and the other thing, it's like, okay, they only tested about the head, but what if, we put these things in our pockets, right? I put mine in my pocket. What's that doing to my junk? Well,
do we really need to answer that question? No. 4 years, phone boy. 4 years.
Nothing.
Like bunnies.
Yes, that's all I
can. If it ain't the jab, it's your cell phone nuking your swimmers.
Something like that. I don't know. But anyway, there's also this thing called age. But anyway, let's talk about...
Dude, bros be popping kids out in their 70s. You're in your 50s. I say bullshit.
It takes two to tango, honey.
Oh, now we're throwing shade on
me. I'm not throwing any shade. I'm just saying.
Breaking the balls. Breaking the balls.
But anyway, now, maybe if you're... Anyway, this is about TikTok. And yes, there's one of these new challenges on TikTok. It's called the 75 Medium Challenge. Can it help you lose weight and increase your fitness?
You cannot outrun a bad diet.
No, you can't outrun a bad diet. But if you've scrolled TikTok recently and I don't know, you're not consuming fear porn all the time, right? You might have seen the 75 Medium popping up in your feed. It's the latest spin on the 75 day challenge trend that exploded with 75 Hard, but without the grueling rules that made that version so intimidating. And yeah, several people in the Vinny group did the 75 Hard challenge a couple of times, and it's... And yeah, it's rough, you know, because of the amount of stuff you got to do. And if you're, you know, if you have the, I don't know. Yeah, it's dedication. So,
but wait until y'all hear this and you'll understand why that there will be a rant.
Yes. Now, unlike 75 Hard, which asks participants to complete 2 45-minute workouts a day, follow a strict diet with no cheat meals or alcohol, and restart from day one if any task is missed, 75 Medium aims to be more sustainable for everyday life. It's positioned as a middle ground between 75 Hard and the more flexible 75 Soft, which gained traction as a gentler alternative. Instead of extreme exercise or extreme measures, 75 Medium includes 45 minutes of daily movement, a 90-10 diet approach, moderate hydration goals, no alcohol, 10 minutes of daily learning, and 10 minutes of daily meditation. The challenge is championed by many who advocate a more sensible and sustainable approach to fitness and weight loss, especially for beginners making new lifestyle changes. Now, the 75 Medium Challenge sits in a far more realistic middle ground than the 75 Hard while still offering more structure than the 75 Soft, so according to an expert. Now, compared to 75 Hard, which many people find unsustainable due to its intensity and all-or-nothing rules, 75 Medium removes some of the extreme pressure while keeping daily consistency at the core, according to the expert. Now, the expert said that for many people, this version will be more sustainable because it recognizes that progress comes from repeatable habits, not perfection. And I can't argue with that, right? I mean, if you can be more consistent in what you do, yeah, it definitely helps, right? And progress, we always say progress, not perfection. So, and now the article argues whether 45 minutes a day of movement is enough. It's certainly more than the often recommended 150 minutes a week of movement that other experts recommend. And any movement is definitely better than none. Now, another key component of the 75 Medium Challenge is sticking to your chosen diet 90% of the time, which they don't talk about with the, you know, what is it, the standard American diet? I mean, I don't know.
Like, well, yeah, because they don't actually specify what your diet is or should be. And we all know, even with the new guidelines, following the FDA's guidelines on what you should be eating is not going to get you to your health goals.
Well, exactly. But are people likely to see weight loss results with this mindset? Now, one expert said the 90-10 rule can remove the guilt cycle that derails most diets. Now, the nervous system learns through repetition, not punishment. A 90-10 approach allows learning to occur while behavior is still imperfect, while also reducing the what the hell effect after small setbacks, another expert shared. However, that expert also believes some people may be better off starting with even more flexibility around the diet, going with a 67-33 approach. Oh my God, there's the magic number that has to be worked in somewhere, where two out of three choices are leading you in a better direction. Then you build to 90-10. Now, will people lose weight this way? Often yes, because they stay engaged long enough for patterns to actually shift. Weight loss comes from consistency, not moral purity around food, the expert added. Now, if you're considering trying 75 Medium, tailoring the challenge to fit your lifestyle and interests can help you stay consistent and actually see results. Now, my biggest advice, according to one expert, is to treat the 75 Medium as a framework you're in charge of, not a test you pass or fail. Choose exercises you genuinely enjoy so the 45 minutes feels achievable even on busy days, and plan workouts and walks into your schedule like appointments, the expert advised. Little planning around food can help too. And I mean, this is what you've been doing when you have to go out, is you've been planning and having food, you know, the right food available, right? And it also...
I'm also one of the people who believes wholeheartedly in fasting and has no issue going in the morning with just a cup of iced cold brew coffee with heavy cream only. And that's all I consume for the entire day. Sometimes for the entire day, and I don't eat anything until the next day or the day after, or I'll eat a healthy meal when I come home after only having coffee for the day. People are looped into thinking you have to eat three meals a day and you have to constantly be satiated. There's even the, you know, three meals and two snacks approach. You just need to listen to your body. And you need to ask yourself, when your body signals, hey, I'm hungry, ask yourself a couple of questions. First of all, am I actually hungry or am I bored? Second of all, am I hungry or am I thirsty? Because hunger will absolutely make you, or I'm sorry, thirst will mimic hunger and make you think that you need to eat, when all you need is maybe just a glass of nice cold water. Or if you like warm water, that's fine too. I prefer nice ice cold water. But either way, ask yourself those two very important questions. Am I actually hungry or am I bored? And is it possible that I'm just thirsty? And if you've eaten or if you've drank a glass of water or whatever, nothing sugary, no milk, no soda pop, that's just going to make you more thirsty. Okay, get yourself a glass of water, drink that water. In about 5-10 minutes, kind of check in with yourself. Am I still feeling hungry? That is going to tell you, yes, I actually probably should eat something, or you know what? Nah, I probably just need a little hydration.
Yeah, we all don't drink enough water, so, but Now, the expert also suggests using the learning and meditation time to wind down and reflect on your day. And I can't say I disagree with that thought process, right? It, definitely taking some time to wind down, you know, by yourself, you know, take a few minutes. You know, yeah, you could probably smoke the holy herb if you want to, but if you're not into that, that's cool too. But just take some time by yourself and decompress, and I think that's a good thing to do in general.
That's important no matter if you're doing 75, hard, soft, medium, whatever.
Yep.
Just take some time for you. And I can truly tell you that for me, you all hear me talk a lot about Mountain Madness, my favorite soap company in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. But that to me incorporates two things that are very important for we girls and also for you gentlemen out there, or whatever you identify as, alien, park bench, mentally deficient, whatever it is. So take that time for yourself. While you have to take a shower anyway to wash off the day or to start your day, some people, but most people wash before they go to bed because you don't want funk on your sheets. But take that time. That's what I do. I have these wonderful soap that I get from Mountain Madness. I love the smell of them, no matter what they are. And I will just use a bunch of, just take that bar itself, drag it across your skin, get all lathered up and just envelop yourself. It's a way to lower your stress and to give something back to yourself for the hard work you put in for the day.
Yeah, I actually like taking baths personally. I mean, I need to go.
There's that too.
Yeah, just to go, instead of taking a shower, soak in the bathtub. You know, I do that too. But now, just to finish up the story here, another expert also noted that ensuring your approach to 75 medium fosters self-trust rather than reinforcing external control will likely help you achieve the best results. Yeah, I mean,
but I have an issue with this, and that's where this rant, and it's not even going to be a temper tantrum rant. It's going to be a mild rant. I have a really big problem with the fact that it's like, oh, it's okay to cheat once a week, or it's okay to, you know, just ease into it. You know what this feels like to me, phone boy? This feels like keto. This feels like, hey, you can still eat that chocolate bar from whatever brand is using that trigger word.
Yeah, Quest, probably. I don't know. There's several of them, but
there
yeah.
are many brands out there going, you can still have this nut oat cluster. You can still have this lemon cheesecake bar. No sugar. Right. Because it's full of fake sugar. It's full of goatee and fail.
Yes, exactly.
That's what this screamed to me, was the powder puff way to pretend you're eating and exercising and doing everything right while still being able to be less virtuous and have that cheat day. Because they're not talking about eating a no sugar whatever. Again, they don't talk about what the diet itself is for the 75 medium, but they're not talking at all about what your quote cheat day includes. Because I'll tell you right now, if your cheat day is going and getting a big thick foldable slice of New York style pizza, or putting your face in a pint of Ben and Jerry's, let me tell you something, cupcake, you ain't gonna lose no damn weight. I don't give a fuck how many miles you run. I don't care how much meditation you do. You need to change your diet fully and effectively before you can even think about doing this and being successful.
Yeah, just eat real food, folks. I mean, really what it comes down to. So, all right. Now, I think it's time, because we're at that point in the show. We've reached the roughly, I don't know, we've reached the second third of the show. and where we go with that is the Cavalcade of Stupidity with Rev Cybertrucker.
Heidi ho, pedal heads, and welcome to Sir Reverend Cybertrucker's Cavalcade of Stupidity. And since I'm MIA, here's Phone Boy to take over.
Yeah, Rev got caught somewhere with a flat tire.
He
or something.
He stuck with a flat. He was supposed to have it for us. He messaged us in the back channel in plenty of time. Said, hey, yeah, life's kind of bending me over. We said, don't worry about it, man. We got you. And I think we have got a doozy for you folks today, because this one is a personal favorite of mine from a Mr. James Wayne Stafford, who was born January 16th. So he just celebrated a birthday, although I'm pretty sure he may... Is he still with us?
Apparently, according to Wikipedia, because otherwise, usually Wikipedia would note that somebody's passed away. So
okay, well, he just celebrated his birthday on the 16th of January, and he's an American songwriter, singer, musician, and comedian. And while he was prominent in the 70s for his recordings Spiders and Snakes, Swamp Witch, Under the Scotsman Kilt, My Girl Bill, and the one we're going to present to you today, none other than that nice, heady Wildwood Weed. He headlined at his own theater in Branson, Missouri from 1990 to 2020, and he's a self-taught musician who is fluent in guitar, fiddle, piano, banjo, organ, and harmonica. Now, this particular track comes off the only album of his that ever made it onto the charts, self-titled Jim Stafford, which was released in 1974. And this track peaked at number 7 on the U.S. charts. So without further ado, we present to you Mr. Jim Stafford smoking some of that Wildwood Weed.
Name of this song is The Wildwood Flower. Now, the Wildwood Flower is an old country classic. It's gained a whole new popularity. The song isn't any more popular, but the flower's doing real good. The Wildwood Flower grew wild on the farm, and we never knowed what it was called. Some said it's a flower, and some said it's a weed. I didn't give it much thought. One day I was out there talking to my brother, and I reached down for a weed to chew on. Things got fuzzy and things got blurry, and then everything was gone. Didn't know what happened, but I knew it beat the hell out of sniffing burlap. I come to, and my brother was there, and he said, "What's wrong with your eyes?" I said, "I don't know. I was chewing on a weed." He said, "Well, let me give it a try." Spent the rest of that day and most of that night trying to find my brother Bill. Caught up with him about 6 o'clock the next morning, naked, singing on the windmill. He said he flew up there.
Yeah, well, there we go. We can't play the whole thing right now. We'll play.
But we will play it in Studio 33, of course.
We'll play it in Studio 33. So that's a great track. So I guess it's time for we're at that point where it's time for Tales from Rideshare.
Yeah, we didn't really have a whole lot of rideshare this week. We did have Friday before 2.5 bends that my son and I decided to go ripping around the city and see what kind of mischief we could get into. And we got pulled from pillar to post delivering food to people. And I'm glad to report we have finally solved the Walmart issue. We have unsubscribed from doing those kinds of things. So now my rating can return to the glory it formerly knew. And I'm not going to be screwed for trying to get decent actual human being rides and not just deliveries throughout the week while I'm not running around with him. But there's not really much to report this week from rideshare. Just picking up food that smelled way too delicious for its own good, although you know it's filled with seed oils and grains and sugars. It sure smelled good. And we had fun riding around, BSing, just kind of doing what we do. It's basically what we do every other Friday. And with what we'll talk about here in Toast and Jam that correlates with that, I don't know how many more weeks we're going to have to do that, but we'll see what happens. But for right now, let's jam.
Well, I'm a bum in the sun, and I'm having fun, and I know you know I got no special plans.
Special plans!
And we hope those special plans are going to include calling 253-237-3321 and telling us your best D&D story. We know you've got them, so lay them on us, 253-237-3321. And in the meantime, I know y'all want to know what I'm cooking.
I'm making, like, actual food that's cooked.
We're going to Denny's?
Well, in this case, we've cooked it, or you've cooked it.
I have. I have cooked it. It is a video that will be released on the Lotus Cafe channel. So that's on YouTube. So please, please, super please, go give those videos a look. There's now, this I believe will make number 4 for the videos that have been put out. There's also a short on the brisket beef chili that I made off camera and off air last weekend. Oh my God, it's so good. I love making a multi-meat chili. But tonight, what I made was a beautiful ribeye steak with a rosemary herb butter. And we steamed some cauliflower with which I made, but on top of which I put a homemade cheddar cheese sauce. It was absolutely...
It's like an orgy in my mouth and everybody's coming.
Oh, it's an orgy. Got it. I mean, Phone Boy can tell you that that is the kind of meal you get in a fine dining establishment, not just a condominium kitchen.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that, it was really good, too. I mean, yeah, we were kind of two wheels and a banana peel actually getting to the, you know, getting there. But anyway, yeah.
Well, we managed it.
Yeah, we did. And it was actually a great, yeah, I think we had a, yeah, it was wonderful. Yeah, and I posted a picture of it in the chat. Yeah, the video, I'm probably going to produce it tomorrow. We've got, yeah, there's a little more work in doing video. yeah, anyway. So we had a lot of tech fuck-ups this week.
Oh, and how?
Because you started your semester this week.
Yes, I did. Tuesday, I believe it was, is when my semester began. And right from the beginning, you could just get that impression that it was going to be one of those semesters that a lot of four-letter words are thrown around, as well as possibly some hardware, depending on how pissed I get it. I know if you were listening to 2.5 Bens last night, and if you weren't, then you should have been. This is a great show. I talked about the fact that we have done the diagnosis on my Mac, or not my Mac, excuse me, my Windows machine, my big beast, and determined that, unfortunately, it has a bad DIMM, which means it's going to cost me, if the third party that installed this shit, and that still just makes me rage, but if they are not willing to honor the fact this thing is not even 6 months old, or maybe at this point it is. The point is, it's not out of warranty. You assholes put in a faulty DIMM stick. You need to replace it. Because RAM right now is well over $200 for this computer. And I don't really feel like having to put that out. I will if I have to. And it'll be a very expensive mistake to learn never to buy a computer other than right from the factory, from the horse's mouth, if you will, like we do with our Apples. Because this is unacceptable with the amount of money that this computer cost me, that I'm now having to sink a couple hundred into it if they don't want to honor the warranty. Because HP's like, oh, hey, the third party did it, not our problem. Like, fucking thanks for nothing. But yeah, that's where we're at with that. Is so I can still run on the 32 gigs that I have in there, but I much prefer my 64. So hopefully we'll get that buttoned up soon. In addition to the fact that things just can't go smoothly, I opened the page for my pen testing class and it was blank, as was every other tab in that particular class. Apparently, I wasn't the only person having a bad tech week. My professor had gotten bent over by tech first and foremost, and he leaned into the fact, which was nice. So that, you know, The biggest problem with that now is we paid over $400 for an ebook, and no, it wasn't an option. It was literally digital, no other option.
It was for two of them because one of them, but they both got affected.
I thought one book alone was like four.
No, the total was, yeah, it was, yeah.
Irrelevant to the fact it was more damn money than it should be for the fact it's still sitting in the undelivered category. My semester began 4 fucking days ago. When would you like to get me my pen testing book where I can do my coursework? Asking for a friend. So that's going to be a fight come Monday morning, because hopefully the college bookstore and the professor will both be awake enough to understand I need my materials. Let's not continue to jerk Phoenix's chain. She doesn't really appreciate it. What else happened at the beginning of this semester happens to be the fact that I have been assigned to an internship with my teeth gnashed and my attitude not completely in check with everything that's been going on. I'm taking it, but I'm not happy about it, merely because I don't like people. I've made no bones about the fact that people, not a fan. And having to work in this particular arena, don't get me wrong, I don't have a problem with University of Tennessee, go Vols. What I have a problem with is I'm not strong in my skills, and I'm petrified to look like an idiot this far into my course, or I should say my degree, in a college, a bona fide university, not some shitty, you know, local community college like I'm attending, but an actual university. I need to put my best foot forward, and I'm hoping that my foot is going to be good enough to impress and not bring shame and disgrace upon the course of which I am taking, because I still hold my professor in high regard, and he is also the one who runs the course. He's the one that got the internship for myself and four other colleagues. So we'll see how that goes. We'll keep you updated on it. But for now, that's basically all of the tech update that I have. What do you got, Phone Boy?
Well, okay, so I did do a video. I did go out in the cold and record a couple. I did recorded a couple of videos this week. If I'm sitting here looking at it, because I did. Oh yeah, that's right. I did one on past, present, and future me or future you, right? Which is actually kind of a. I should probably put that in the chat. But yeah, it's yes. I know, Sir Bemrose. It's on YouTube, which means that's probably not that you're not gonna. Yeah, you probably won't see that. But I also did another one this week called "Change Your Focus, Change Your World." I posted a short version of it on the Massive Dong. I'll put a link to both of those videos in the show notes. It's kind of doing my getting my philosophical thoughts into some sort of a form and doing a video version of the old Phone Boy Speaks where I just kind of get on the mic and start talking about whatever the hell it is that's on my mind. Well, now I've got something to say. Yeah, I've been using the GoPro camera to do the videos now because we spent the money. Why not?
Yeah, because you have it.
Yeah, and yeah, I will tell. Yeah, although sometimes it does things. I just kind of go. It's sometimes the screen is like way too sensitive. I've just determined that I don't like the. Yeah, that's the one thing about it. I'm still trying to figure out the best way to use some of that stuff. But anyway, it's been a good thing. It's nice to do some of that other stuff. So I don't think I had much else going on this week. But I did get a new tarot deck, and it is. I need to come up with a tarot jingle. I think, but. But anyway, this is the point now where I'm actually doing I got a new tarot deck. This is the Celestial Tarot deck. I don't know. It's called I think the brand name, the Chinesian brand name is Empath Soul. I don't know. Anyway, so I'm going to do so. And I have not. So all I have done with this deck so far is shuffle it. I have not actually done a reading with it. So this is the first time I'm using this particular deck, and I'm kind of curious what it's got to say. Well,
you know, I might actually have something for that, Phone Boy, since you're transitioning into your tarot segment. We'll see. If not, it'll end up as an edit.
Okay. Yeah, please. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, transitioning. Yes. Well, we could do that. Yeah, that's a short enough clip. It might not get caught.
It wasn't what I was looking for. I was actually looking for the opening that Lorian had made for us originally.
Yeah, I see.
But hey, that'll work.
Yeah, I guess we'll figure something out. Anyway, so the first card I drew, right, and I'm actually sitting here kind of doing the cards as we go. So I'll post a picture of this in the chat too when I'm done doing the thing. So I drew the Page of Pentacles as my first card. And the Page of Pentacles is so pentacles are about abundance, as I like to say, right? So it's and I'd say a kind of a young child that's looking at this something that looks like it almost looks like a 20-sided die, if I'm honest. It's in a big thing in his hands, and it's like it's got the world in his hands, right? Yeah, I mean, I like that, right? Yeah, and so, you know, again, new energy, a new energy. We talk about, you know, a page is young, usually, and it's, you know, young energy with the world in his hands. It's like, oh, you know. And this kind of feels like what I feel like right now is like, yeah, there's a lot of things changing, and I feel like, yeah, I feel like a kid again in some respects, right? And that's kind of, it's kind of what I feel like. And there's this hand, he's got the world in his hands, right? I think that's a thing. I know there's more to say here, so let's see what else comes up here. We now have drawn the sun. And we've got, in this case, we've got what looks like on a hillside. You've got with sunflowers on it. There's a girl standing and looking at the sun. Although it almost kind of looks like the moon, just because of the way of this dark. But in the sun, you know, again, I would, you know, you get this. You know, what's great about the sun? Well, it's warm. It also is the best disinfectant, right? Sunlight is the best disinfectant, as they say. So things are coming to light. Things are growing. Things are after maybe a long winter. You know, the sun comes out and things start growing again, right? So Yeah, I think it is kind of appropriate for kind of what's going on in the world right now. We have the world in our hands, and the sun is coming out and exposing things, right? In our own lives and maybe in other people's lives, and I think the sun is going to be out. And I know that there's at least one more card here. I don't want to spend too much time doing this. Here we go. We have the Empress. Yes. This is a great card. The Empress is the Empress here is sitting here looking at what looks like a crystal ball with the space and moon behind her. And I'll actually read what the Empress, I'll read from the book here what the Empress is. It's one of the major arcana. But the Empress represents nurturing energy, creativity, love, and abundance of life. She encourages growth, self-care, and emotional fulfillment. Connect with your nurturing femininity and enjoy the beauty of life. You may also experience a burst of creativity. And that's definitely with everything that's been going on. Yeah, we're actually what did we do in the beginning of the year? We started doing more things, right? And so it's been a burst of creativity.
Oh yeah, we did.
Yeah. So I feel like that for at least certain people, right? This is what's happening, right? You got the world in your hands. The sun is coming out. The truth is coming out.
It feels like that when you're at the beginning of the year, you know, you've got your fresh resolutions made. You're hopeful. You're like, today, you know, this is going to be my year.
Yeah. It's feeling good, right? And so, yeah, I think that's probably enough of that. But again, I will put a link to the deck in the show notes when for right now, I'll take a picture of the cards here because I do like these cards. These are really nice looking cards. So this is what I've got. And then there's, you know, and again, this is one of the nice little readings that we do here, just to kind of capture the moment. And, I think now that we've done that, I think it's time for the world to have a wake-up call. What do you think?
That's right. It might be time because...
The world needs a wake-up call. We're going to phone it in.
2253-237-3321. Now, we, of course, had Mama T, who gave us a text message weigh-in on this topic. And it's not too late. You can call 253-237-3321 and tell us your best D&D story. That's right, Dungeons and Dragons. We want to know your best story. So phone it in because it's not too late. But Mama T phoned it in and she said, I don't have a D&D story, never played it, and really not interested in it. We can respect that, Mama T. Absolutely.
We'll get to our stories in a second here after we.
That's right, but we have a voicemail to hear.
Yeah, we have two voicemails actually, but we'll play one. We'll play this one first.
Phoenix and Poneboy, it's a beautiful, beautiful Saturday. Got some friends over. They're gonna play some games tonight, and just chill around the house. But yeah, no Dungeons and Dragons though. So yip yip yip. So first time story, never played it. Just heard about it. Didn't really even know anything super about it. I mean, like heard little things and honestly, like watching the show Stranger Things, probably like the most I know about the game, sort of deal. And, I have like some, family. Yeah. I have at least one family member and then decent amount of friends, coworkers or whatever that play Dungeons and Dragons, but just nothing I ever got into. I was kind of tell people like probably the most I get into a game is like Catan or something like that. Not, you know, which is not anything like that whatsoever. So, but, yeah. So, but I was actually talking to a coworker about it. He's just kind of telling me about it just to, cause it's something he does once a week. And, so just kind of shooting the Shiite with him sort of deal and figuring out stuff he's interested in. So yeah, the answer is that. So anyway. That's it. So, Phoenix Homeboy, adio. Love you guys. Stay dangerous. And whether or not it's a superior odor control or it's hard clumping or it's both, go ahead and give a hearty, hearty caw!
Caw! That was a great caw from Mr. Christopher Battles. Thank you for that contribution.
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually trying to bring up his script. Okay. Okay, we have that. Okay, I was trying to find his voicemail. Where is his voicemail? Why is it not showing his voicemail? Because I know we got a voicemail from him. Because I want to make sure. I want to make sure that there's no that there's no show titles in here. So that's what I was doing. Because we don't have a lot of show titles at this point. So I was kind of trolling for that. But here, okay, we have another call here that we're gonna play.
Hey guys, best D&D story. Heard of it, Dungeons and Dragons, but never played it. Never was interested in it, but. Otherwise, that. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Yeah. I know that the Bemroses like it, and we actually tried to play with them, but I think
Dame Jennifer has played.
Yeah, I think I've played in the past, and at some point I just got bored with it. There's nothing personal about the game, but I used to play, in Way of a Story though, I used to play maybe not just Dungeons and Dragons, but we played a couple of different games, and I played with my best friend, and this is something we did, you know, just kind of, you know, just the two of us, right? It wasn't a big thing. I played in a couple of big things. I used to be a DM at some point, right? A dungeon master, and you know, but at just some point I just got bored with it and like, okay, well, you know, I don't know that I have any great stories, although I remember I was over at my friend Rob's house in high school, and you know, we're playing with a big group of people, and that was the last time I had played it. I just like, I don't really want to play this game, and it was just kind of a, you know, in the middle of the game I'm just like, no, I can't do this. You know, it was, I didn't quite react that way at the time. I kind of was trying to play, but I really didn't want to play. And anyway, I used to play with my best friend and, you know, probably like junior high school or whatever. I mean, that's one of the ways we did it. And maybe in that context, it was okay. But we also did other things. I think we were playing like Dragon Quest, and I think we may have even played like Marvel Superheroes and some other stuff like that. But anyway, I don't know that I have this great campaign, but it's like I played it. I've photocopied, you know, the old AD&D books, those, you know, first and second edition, whatever. I mean, but yeah, it's just, I don't know that I have any great stories myself, but and I think that's, it's not to say that I don't appreciate the game and don't think it has value, whatever. It's just not for me, right? It's just not something I find, I don't know. I've always been very particular about what the ways that I entertain myself. And, you know, some people like that and some people don't. There's nothing bad about it, but, do you have anything to say about it?
I had always heard about D&D when I was in high school, and there were people who played. It's much like Magic: The Gathering.
Yeah, that was going on in college when I was
Right. So I never played D&D, and got the opportunity because Sir Bemrose and Bemlet and the group were interested in getting a game going, and we had talked about it, and we were creating characters and everything. And through the character creation and all of the intricacies that went into it, I just kind of looked at it and went, this ain't my scene. Like, this is not anything that I want to or could invest my hard-earned time and brain power into doing. I don't understand it. I don't understand the appeal of it. I know there is, and I don't give anybody a hard time. If it's your groove, it's your groove, you know. I've just never really understood the appeal of it, which is why I was hoping to hear some great stories from, you know, the people who have played, who can shed some light on, like, what is the appeal that makes you want to keep doing campaign after campaign in this particular game.
I mean at one time I could see it, but I don't anymore. But yeah, so you're not alone, and not everybody's into that game, and there's nothing wrong with that. But
and I guess for me, it's because of my personality, that because I always have to be doing something, and most of everything that I'm doing has to have a purpose. I don't find a purpose in playing that game other than to waste countless hours. I haven't found merit, and I think that's why I wasn't able to, once we got to, like, you know, you have to make all these decisions on characters and what their attributes are and this and that, and I'm just going, why? It's all fucking make-believe, and I don't do well with make-believe. I'm much better with the here, now, and reality, and I think that's why I shied away from it, because my imagination just does not allow myself to go down that mentally, you know, exhausting road of trying to keep up with, you know, what am I, who am I, why do I do this? Oh, I can do this. I can't. No, I just can't. But I want to hear these stories. I know that the Bemroses have, and maybe even Rachel, possibly Cotton Gin, has some excellent D&D game stories that I would really love to hear.
Yeah, so 253-237-3321, or you can send us an audio file if you want to do that too. But anyway, so we didn't. So this week, yeah. So the weigh-in topic, and sometimes the weigh-in topic is, doesn't have a lot of weight. So, and that's okay. But I think we can. Speaking of weight, we can move to part two of the health segment, which of course will never also ever be.
Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Why do you keep saying that?
Because they pay me every time I do. It's a really good way to make money.
Yeah, yeah. I like money though. I think now, but this is. I think we're now getting into. I don't know. We're talking about, you know, reducing stress, right? One of the ways you can reduce stress is actually to eat cleanly. But of course, not according to the mainstream, because there are 9 drinks that naturally reduce stress and anxiety.
Goosefraba.
That's right. Beverage choices throughout the day have the power to lower stress levels, reduce symptoms of anxiety, and bring a sense of calm. For example, green tea, one of my favorites, has been shown to reduce anxiety, and chamomile tea is often used to help calm the body and mind before bed. We're big tea fans here in Casa Lotus, so very familiar with both of those particular teas and purchase them in large quantities. But other drinks can help too. Smoothies and juices with fruits and vegetables. You know I'm going to rant on this. Many stress-reducing fruits and vegetables can be added to smoothies or consumed in juices. Avocados, which contain vitamin B, magnesium, omega-3 fatty acids, and other nutrients, can help lower anxiety and stress levels. Blueberries are high in antioxidants, which can help reduce anxiety, stress, and other mental health conditions. Spinach, kale, and other leafy greens can help alleviate stress, anxiety, and other mental health conditions because they're rich in calcium. They can also help you shit if you're having trouble with that. No, maca, M-A-C-A, is a root vegetable that's been shown to reduce stress and anxiety levels. I've actually never heard of that. Have you heard of that before, Phone Boy?
No.
Okay, so we're not sure what that is, but it is a tuber. So
it's what they call McDonald's in like some Asian countries is maca. I think they might call it that in fucking Australia now that I'm thinking about it. But anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, either way, we have not heard of this particular root vegetable, but because it is a tuber, it is also on the list of, you know, let's go sparingly because the carbs. Now, oranges and other citrus fruits that are rich in vitamin C can help boost mood and reduce stress and anxiety. Can also help boost your fucking blood sugar. What are you, nuts? Sorry, just had to slip that in there. So they tell you to check the juice label for added sugar, ignoring the fact that these drinks are high in natural sugar to begin with. And if you're going to have fruit, yeah, eat it. Don't drink it. No drinking your calories and your carbs. Get it right with the roughage, the pulp. Go full veggie on this stuff. So they recommend probiotic drinks. The gut microbiome plays a crucial role in mental health, including stress and anxiety, so consuming drinks with probiotics can be beneficial. This includes kefir, kombucha, and other fermented beverages. Y'all, have you ever had kombucha? I'm just going to say, I have, and I won't. I sipped. One little sip was all it took. I spit that shit out clean, fast, and in a hurry. Not a fan. Phone Boy, I think he likes kombucha.
Yeah, it's an acquired taste. Actually, Vinny makes he actually makes kombucha himself.
Really?
Yeah, he because somebody asked him a question recently. Said doesn't that have sugar? He said, yeah, most of it actually gets used in the fermentation, but I also ferment it a second time to make sure to get most of it right. So it's, yeah, I mean, it's fermented foods. Yeah, they do. They, you know, the fermentation. So cells can get cells can get oxygen, you know, kind of aerobically or anaerobically, right? And the aerobically means that they're breathing, you know, oxygen, right? And you know, but there are things that are live that can't breathe oxygen, and so they have to get it. They have to go through this big long process to break it down, and that breaks down sugars, which is, by the way, right, what cancer does. Cancer can't breathe itself, but if you're eating a lot of sugar, it's got a lot of fuel around, right? So It's the sugar gets eaten up in the fermentation process, and what you're left with is, you know, something that's decent for you. But yeah, it's got an opinion. I think that's one of the reasons.
Yeah, decent for you and tastes like acidic camel piss. But anyway, the next thing that they recommend is nut and seed milk. Okay, the only nut milk I want doesn't come out of a carton. Hey-o! These are not real milks, folk. They're full of God knows what. Just do not drink nut or seed milk. The only milk, if you're going to consume it, needs to come from an animal. A cow, a sheep, a goat, full fat, no fucking around. Now, tea. We were talking about tea. And the kind of tea the experts recommend vary from chamomile, which is effective in reducing anxiety, green tea, which can help lower stress and anxiety levels through an amino acid called L-theanine. We also have matcha, which is a type of green tea that's been shown to decrease stress and anxiety. So really go with the flowery teas like chamomile, lavender, green tea, matcha. There's some vanilla rooibos that Foam Boy gets that is absolutely, oh, so good. And you don't have to sweeten it. Just, you could put a little bit of cream in it if you want. Maybe a little lemon, if that gets you there. Some mint. But these are all wonderful teas that can help bring your anxiety and stress down and put you in a very peaceful place. Of course, they recommend water. And of course, we can all use to drink more water. Who can't? Like I said, I prefer it nice and ice cold, especially if it comes filtered out of my refrigerator. But that's just me. I'm kind of a diva. So they recommend mushroom coffee. Mushrooms, including reishi mushrooms, can help reduce stress and depression. And there are actual coffee blend alternatives that are made from these mushrooms. And while these products haven't been proven to be effective, some research suggests that mushrooms may offer benefits. And I can tell you that they make gummies. And I've even seen when I went grocery shopping with my oldest that there are mushroom drinks out now. And I don't mean the good psilocybin stuff that you're getting at your local dispensary. I'm talking about on the shelf of a major grocery store, these lion's mane and reishi mushroom-like compound beverages that are known to reduce stress. Of course, they also have that fake sugar in them, so we do not recommend them, but they are out there. They also recommend ginger and turmeric in teas, smoothies, nut milk, and more. Now, I'm going to tell you that if you're going to add turmeric, don't add it to your drinks. Get a turmeric capsule that includes black pepper, which is used to activate this to help with inflammation and overall wellness. Now, we could see ginger and turmeric in teas, but we also see it in other stuff too. Not a lot. They're not really doing the things with turmeric that they could be. We love using turmeric in Casa Lotus and at the Lotus Cafe. And we think it's a very underrated spice, as is ginger. Ginger in many ways. The root, sliced, pickled, dried. We love ginger. So apple cider vinegar, something we're very fond of here as well, or ACV, is made from fermented apples, making it a probiotic liquid that can support a healthy gut microbiome. This can lower stress and anxiety levels, and it can be mixed with water and lemon juice, which helps cut that sharp taste just a bit. We recommend getting the unfiltered with mother if you're going to use apple cider vinegar, no matter if it's for cooking or to take a little shot of it to improve your health. Now, of course, some of the side effects can include an upset stomach, maybe a little unpleasant taste. So you might want to take it in capsule form, because they do offer apple cider vinegar in a capsule form and it has the same benefits. But if you want, just add it to, I'll tell you truthfully, this is an old remedy that before I changed my diet, and sometimes when I'm really sick, I just don't give a damn. I will make up some chicken noodle soup, the pouch stuff that comes in a box, and I will pour apple cider vinegar in that bad boy and just sip it. Oh, it's so good for just making you feel less icky when you're not feeling well. So the next time you have a big bowl of chicken noodle soup from Lipton, or maybe even the oodles and noodles ramen stuff that sometimes I cheat in the chicken flavor, or now you've introduced me to the Sapporo Ichiban, which is just absolutely top-notch ramen. Yeah, if you're doing the chicken flavor, throw a little apple cider vinegar in there. It's going to be good for your health, and it's going to improve the flavor greatly. Now, I'm really surprised that they didn't mention mixing the vinegar with honey, because it's a natural elixir that can help your allergies. And I know that's something you yourself, you buy what we call the foo-foo vinegar, because it's got all these herbs plus the vinegar.
Well, I haven't bought it.
Yeah, past tense.
Yeah, I was. But yeah, it's, yeah, and I don't do that so much anymore, because I've actually, you know, again, I realized that my allergies were kind of being driven by some of the stuff I was eating. And so, yeah, now that I've cleaned up my diet and even other things, it's like I don't have problems with my allergies that much, although I do actually have, I've discovered that, like, adding a little bit more time to my sinus treatment that seems to help sort of keep things clear. Cause yeah, you know, I wake up in the morning and usually have a bunch of sinus crap and I need some help getting rid of it. And sometimes I start sneezing. Then yeah, the essential oil thing where, yes, we have a towel downstairs that smells like herbs because I use it. I put my head under it and
that's towel, not tell.
Yeah.
I heard tell.
Yeah.
But I know you meant towel. Yeah, there's no doubt in the morning when I roll over and I can smell rosemary and geranium and thyme and things coming from the downstairs, that you're quite certainly having what we call a sinus treatment.
Yes.
And not to mention, and I love it, when I go to give you a kiss in the morning, your hair smells like all of those beautiful herbs. Yeah. So it's a double joy.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Then we got...
The last thing that they recommend is adaptogen drinks, which are natural plants such as herbs that can help to balance the body, leading to a wide variety of health benefits. Purchasing adaptogen drinks or adding adaptogens to a favorite beverage can help with stress and anxiety. Ashwagandha and rhodiola, also known as golden root, are types of adaptogens that help reduce stress and anxiety. And I'm thinking maybe a little fresh mint, if you can get a hold of it, added to maybe one of the teas or even just some water. Quite honestly, if you take a lime and squeeze it into some water and muddle some mint and drop it in there, promise you, that is a flavor sensation that is not only good for you, it helps boost your mood, and it helps with the vitamin C from the limes without having that sugar rush from what the sweeter citrus causes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, all right, now we get to, you know, this is one of those things that I, you know, it's like, this is one of those drugs that they seem to refuse to crack down on. I wonder why. The real reason for the drop in fentanyl overdoses we've had. But we're winning the war on drugs. We're winning the war on drugs. Grace Lord and Fastball. We're winning the war on drugs. Yeah. For two decades, the United States and Canada have struggled with a drug epidemic. Oh, but yeah, the war on drugs. From 2003 to 2022, annual overdose deaths in the United States rose from less than 26,000 to nearly 108,000, becoming the leading non-medical cause of death. It's a drug that comes from a fucking... not medical, right. Surpassing car accidents and gun violence combined. In Canada, overdose deaths increased almost tenfold in the same period. In both countries, the surge in deaths was supercharged by synthetic opioids such as fentanyl, the ultra-potent lab-made narcotic that has come to dominate the supply of hard drugs. Then, sometime in 2023, something miraculous happened. Death rates started dropping. In Canada, opioid overdose deaths declined 17% in 2024, then continued falling sharply in the first 6 months of 2025, the most recent months for which the data are available. In America, preliminary data indicate that the total drug deaths fell from their peak of just shy of 113,000 in the year ending August 2023 to about 73,000 in the year ending August 2025. Although the numbers are still too high, the public health community has responded to the decrease with jubilation and confusion. Overdoses had been rising inexorably for 20 years. What changed? Well, a new paper published earlier this month by a group of drug policy scholars, otherwise known as experts, in the journal Science, presents a novel theory. The paper's authors attribute the reversal not to any American or Canadian policy, but to a sudden fentanyl drought, which they say may have its causes not in North America, but China. Yeah.
Why does it not surprise me that the Chiners are making this shit that's killing folks?
If right, their conclusion implies a disheartening lesson amid the otherwise welcome news. Nothing American or Canadian policymakers did. No amount of law enforcement, harm reduction, or opioid settlement funds made death start falling, the paper implies. Yeah, no shit. We've been losing the quote-unquote war on drugs. Yeah, it's just part of the fear porn that's been going out there. There is...
I just find it interesting that they make it sound like law enforcement, harm reduction, or settlement funds was going to do anything to reduce the abundant amount of this horrible drug being on the market, let alone the amount of people who are using it. You know the risks, and if you don't, you've been living under a rock. People know that just the smallest amount of this drug can literally kill you. Yet it is so powerful that they're like, hey, I'm willing to take the chance. In my opinion, fentanyl is the new heroin.
Might be, yeah. The paper's authors draw on a variety of data, drug potency, law enforcement actions, and cleverly social media posts to study the supply of fentanyl over time. Most of what drug dealers sell on the street isn't 100% pure fentanyl. Instead, dealers usually adulterate their drugs, combining fentanyl with inert powders such as sugar and baby powder, or mixing in other drugs to stretch the active ingredient. Oh, sounds like adjuvants in the fucking... in the vaccines. Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like the way they used to cut coke too. Or still do.
Yeah. It's a hamburger helper, as JCD used to call it. You know, the hamburger helper of vaccines.
Hamburger helper of drugs.
Yeah, the hamburger helper of drugs, right? So recent years, for example, have seen a major increase in adulteration with a horse tranquilizer xylazine, which knocks users out but doesn't satisfy the opioid craving. Such adulteration happens because users expect to pay the same amount for their drugs every time, and dealers vary how much fentanyl they get for their dollar depending upon how available the drug is. When purity goes down, it means the availability of fentanyl has too. Using data from the Drug Enforcement Administration, or the Drug Enforcement Agency, I think is what it's actually called, the paper's authors observe that when overdose deaths began falling in mid-2023, the measured purity of fentanyl sold on the street began falling roughly in tandem. Yeah, that's probably a good sign that there's a supply chain issue. By the end of 2024, the data show both overdose deaths and powder purity had fallen by about 50%, a dramatic concurrence. Well, no shit. The authors also look at DEA data on law enforcement seizures of fentanyl, finding that these also slowed in the third quarter of 2023. This, they argue, is less attributable to any sort of strategy or personnel change and more to the fact that there appears to have been less fentanyl for law enforcement to seize.
And sell.
Yeah, exactly. The authors also say that Canadian data, to the extent that they are available, are consistent with this trend. To further explore the possibility that fentanyl supply was plummeting, the authors also decided to look to an unusual source of data, Reddit.
Oh, brother.
Yes. Particular forums dedicated to drugs, such as /r/fentanyl. Yeah, that's a pretty obvious one. From 2021 to early 2023, droughts were rarely mentioned at all, but beginning in late 2023, the term drought starts showing up in dozens of posts a month, an increase of as much as 1,900%. In other words, the users were noticing a supply crash too.
Okay, I want to point this out. I find it interesting that you can post shit about drug use, supply and demand on Reddit, but fucking Xbox suspends your account for talking shit against your friends who you're playing online with. We are really in a bad fucking state, folks.
Yeah, exactly. Well, droughts have been known to reduce overdose deaths. Well, no shit! If you can't get the drug, how can you overdose on it?
That's some of the dumbest shit I think I've ever seen.
I saw this article. I was just like, this is absolutely the dumbest article possible because, yeah... You have less because the overdose deaths die when there's less of the drug for people to get. God, oh my God. Anyway, so now Australia has experienced a significant heroin drought in 2001, according to a 2024 study. The drought cut opioid overdose deaths by somewhere from 36% to 56% among a cohort of people using illicit opioids. But if a fentanyl drought had come to North America, what was causing it? Well, the paper authors suggest that the answer may be related to a 2023 China crackdown on fentanyl precursor chemicals and the online platforms that sold them. Itself following a summit between President Biden and Xi Jinping. That crackdown, in turn, may have made it harder for Mexican producers who usually source their precursors from the Chinese gray market to manufacture the drug. But that's more of a speculation than a definitive answer, according to one of the authors of the paper. Yeah. I don't know. This is just, yeah. here's the thing. People are going to consume whatever the hell that they want to consume, whether it's legal or not. So, you know.
And that's been a clear across the board occurrence. Laws have never really prevented people. Look at Prohibition. During Prohibition, people were still sneaking into the speakeasies. You know, what's the password?
Yeah.
It's the same thing with drug use. Just because it's not legal, don't think it's not existing. Just because there's a drought somewhere, if they can find it, even if it's costing them extra money, and ultimately in this case, their lives, people are that addicted. They're going to get their fix one way or another.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think this is our last story, and this is definitely this is definitely for you.
It is, and I think there's no coincidence to the fact that I'm the one covering this story because we finally have a view into the science behind why you suddenly have fewer fucks to give.
I've no more fucks to give.
You're in a meeting. Someone says something objectively wrong. And instead of doing your usual dance, the soft correction, the diplomatic phrasing, the careful preservation of everyone's feelings, you just say it. That's not accurate. No cushioning, no apology, no emotional labor to make the truth more palatable, and everyone looks at you like you've just grown a second head. Welcome to what we'll call the great unfuckinging. That point in midlife when your capacity to pretend, perform, and please others starts shorting out like an electrical system that's finally had enough. You might think you're becoming difficult, impatient, and, quote, a bitter old man or woman. But here's what's actually happening. Your brain is restructuring itself, doing some overdue maintenance. And thank the universe for that, because for years, it's been monitoring social cues, calculating risks, suppressing authentic responses, and managing everyone else's emotional experience. This is exhausting work. And as it turns out, it's unsustainable. Women's brains are particularly wired for social harmony and caregiving in the first half of life, driven partially by estrogen and oxytocin. But as estrogen levels shift in perimenopause and beyond, this intense drive to please and nurture others begins to diminish. We call bullshit on this particular theory. Men also have estrogen. Unlike women, whose estrogen levels drop after menopause, men's levels of estrogen typically increase the older they get, and they tend to give fewer fucks as they get older. So we think this is kind of some flawed science here at the Lotus Effect. Now, while other hormonal changes also occur as you age, there are other possible factors, according to the article, one of which is prefrontal cortex changes. The same executive function region that helps you suppress inappropriate responses for decades starts operating differently. Some research suggests it's become less reactive to social judgment and approval. You're literally less neurologically invested in what others think. I like this. Another one is accumulated stress response. Decades of chronic low-level stress from constant social monitoring takes a biological toll. Your stress response system, the HPA axis, comprised of the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and the adrenal gland, can become dysregulated or simply tap out. What looks like, quote, not having a filter might actually be a stress response system that's finally saying enough. Cognitive prioritization shifts also occur because your brain starts prioritizing things differently. Energy becomes more precious. Time becomes more finite, and the cost-benefit analysis of pretending shifts dramatically. So here's the part that makes this transition uncomfortable. Other people don't like it. When you stop performing emotional labor, systems that rely on it start to break down. Suddenly you're not a team player anymore, or you're just going through something, or you've changed, said with, you know, a certainty that really just conveys disapproval. But this backlash is proof of concept. It confirms that your people-pleasing wasn't optional. It was required labor that kept everything running smoothly. And when you stop providing it, people notice. But when you, quote, lose your filter, that's when the real good stuff comes in. you gain authenticity. The real you, the one that's been submerged under layers of performance, is finally surfacing. Now, this might feel harsh because authentic humans have sharp edges. They have opinions. They have boundaries. And they start to enforce them and express them more the older that we get. And you also start to gain time. The energy you spent managing everyone else's experiences, it's now available for literally anything else you want to do. And that return on investment is staggering. You gain clarity. When you stop cushioning every truth, reality becomes clearer. Problems that were obscured by diplomatic language become visible and therefore more solvable. You also gain real relationships. Transactional relationships end when you stop pleasing people. The what can you do for me? What am I getting out of it thing? Yeah, when people stop being the pleasers that they are and start enforcing their boundaries and saying, no, I'm really not willing to continue this particular relationship because I'm not getting something out of it. Well, those relationships tend to fade away. But what remains are the connections based on the people who are friends with you and spend time with you because of who you actually are. They've seen the you that you are, the days when you are not on your best. Now, if you are like Phone Boy and myself, even though we are older, we've pretty much suppressed that because of the relationships we were in. And despite age, when we finally broke free of that control, we were our genuine selves. We told people what we think. We told them at the time we thought it. We didn't. And I've never sugarcoated things. That's the one thing my kids have always said is, at least we know where we stand with you, Mom. And I've often said, I don't sugarcoat shit, because when you get through that sweet coating, it's still shit underneath. I'd rather just hit you with the truth. Easier that way. So if you're in the thick of this shift, here's what might help. Name what's happening. Say, I'm not becoming difficult. I'm becoming authentic. My brain is reorganizing around honesty instead of performance. Language matters. The story you tell yourself about this changes how you shape the experience of it. Now, expect resistance. When you stop over-functioning in relationships and systems, others are going to push back. This isn't evidence you're doing something wrong. It's evidence you were doing too much before. Practice the pause. You don't have to swing from people-pleasing to brutal honesty overnight. Notice when you're about to soften, cushion, or apologize unnecessarily. Pause. Take a deep breath. And then choose consciously whether or not to add the cushioning. Because sometimes brutal honesty is the best course of action. And find your people. Other women or men are going through this same shift. They're tired of pretending too. Their relationships are also going through that. And these relationships will feel different, less performative, more substantial, more real. When we say find your people, we're not just talking about the people who agree with you in your political ideals or your tinfoil hat theories. We're talking about the people who understand the value of, don't take personally if I tell you your toilet needs cleaning. Don't take it personally if I say, hey, you look like you might have added a couple of pounds. You doing okay? Check in with your people, but be real with your people. If you're not feeling like talking to your people, just say, hey, it's not about you. I'm just going to be over here for a minute handling me. Catch you on the flip side. Don't be afraid to be real with people, because that's how you strengthen and develop real lasting friendships, and not the superficial shit that you get from being on Facebook or Twitter or some other platform. Those people are not your friends. Would they be there at 3 a.m. when you called drunk off your ass going, I'm in jail, need bail money? No, I doubt they would, folks. The other thing, this is very important. And especially as someone who's going through this right now, I'm speaking to all of you out there who need to hear this. Grieve if you need to. Because there's a loss here as well. There's the loss of approval, the loss of everyone liking you if you're someone who that has been valuable to before. To some degree, a loss of your identity as, quote, the nice one, the calm one, the quiet one. There's the loss of a perfect life that you have sacrificed yourself to maintain for others. This grief is legitimate, even as the change is ultimately positive. Making that transition from being the people pleaser to the pleasing yourself, you can take that any way you choose, sometimes it has a grief that comes with it. It may not be a grief that you are even aware is yours. Another good reason why, when you feel a certain way, take a moment, step back and say, is this mine? Is the feeling I'm feeling mine? Find a root in its basis. And if you're unable to find a root in its basis, let it go. Release it. This is not mine. I will not hold on to it. And it will definitely help you to change your mental status. So you're learning to exist as yourself, regardless of external validation when you do all of this. And it's spiritual work. When someone says to you, you've changed, when they say you're not the person you used to be, well, they imply something's wrong with you now. No, it's not that there's something wrong with you. You've changed into someone who's no longer available to be their rodeo clown, their performer, their star. You've become yourself. You've blossomed like the lotus from the mud into the person you were always meant to be. And sometimes people don't like that transformation. They don't like what they see. And that's a whole lot of their problem, not yours. Bloom where you're planted and be authentically you.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny because I want to point out that this story actually came from like an Oprah thing, which I thought was kind of, kind of like the place I wouldn't expect to find something like this. And you ignore the theory about the fact that it's estrogen as you get older that changes, that causes these things. No, I think people can reach this particular point in life at any point in life where they're finally just getting to a point where I'm like, you know what, I'm going to be me. And if people don't like it, well, it's not my problem, right? I'm not worried about anybody's validation I'm doing this for me. And if you don't like it, that's cool. Right. But
And I think that could also be part of the reason why my boys, when we go to the grocery store and stuff, and I do that thing where I have no filter and I'm like, why would you buy this boar's head? Do you know the contamination and the recalls that they've had? They get embarrassed when I do that. Why? Because I'm speaking the truth, because I'm making people aware of what's going on, and they have not come to that point in their lives yet where they can be truly themselves, because they're still in their 20s. They're still very much in that performative, everybody has to like me, I have to be the good guy, the smart one, the, you know, da 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 da.
Yeah, exactly. But I think you can reach this point at any point in time. And you know, Sir Bemmer says that he's kind of been at that point most of his life, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that.
If you have the space to be you and not people around you shitting all over you because you are you, telling you you're wrong, you're this, you're that, sure. That's why I say bloom where you're planted whenever that happens. For some, it's earlier than others.
Yeah, but take that space, take that time, right, to figure out who that is, right? Don't listen to what's going on out there. Listen, take some time to yourself, separate from everybody, get off the phone, get off all, go take some deep breaths, right? Because that's where, and listen to yourself and don't try to filter it or try to put it into, okay, what has society told me? Well, you know what's really going on. We all know what's really going on. We've just been told not to trust ourselves. Well, trust yourself. No.
Yeah. If there's any message we can leave you folks with today, as we go into our last call, is trust that little voice in the back of your head when it's telling you something, because it's usually right. And trust your intuition and yourself. Don't second guess yourself. Fully commit to the decisions you make, whether they're popular or unpopular, and you'll be a lot happier.
Yeah, exactly. Well, okay. But speaking of the last call, I guess it's time to have that last call.
Oh, I'm not done yet.
Oh, God.
Well, okay. Well, we didn't get any more calls. That's fine. But you can, of course, you can at any time, you can call the 253-237-3321. Google Voice will probably answer it or something like that. But yeah. And I guess.
Well, that's about it, really.
What?
Shirley, you can't be serious.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Fuck it. I gotta go.
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go edit I gotta edit two podcasts worth of stuff in a video.
And we gotta go hang out in Studio 33 right. With the pedalheads.
That's right. And with that.
I'm so fucking over this.
It is time for this to be over.
I got an idea to end all this bullshit.
Jordan fades back. Swoosh. And that's the game.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. You're cool.
and fuck you, I'm out.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.